Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. This is a very special episode because it is Cody's 29th birthday.
Dude,
not 30th, right? It's 30? Well, you're not really making that big of a deal out of it. I thought 30 you'd be like a little bit more. Damn, you're 30, dude.
Nah, dude, I'm young at heart. You know why though, bro? Like, my friends were asking me too. I mean, obviously,
yeah, talk about how you're feeling about it. Yeah,
I feel totally fine. I think we're still kind of like kids, and you know, like 40 is gonna hit me way harder than 30. I feel like when you hit 40, you're just like, damn, I'm at that point. But 30, I don't know, man. I'm still feeling like I could fucking run through a brick wall if I need to.
Yeah, I actually, you know, we can talk about some personal stuff before we get into hockey stuff, but I had like a not an epiphany or whatever, but last night I cabbed home after like going out till, you know, I was out till like 2 a.m. last night. I went to Rumpus Room for a friend's
Humble
birthday.
Brag, bro.
No, I'm just, but I like, you know, I took a cab home and I was like, I wasn't like that drunk. And I was like, is this even that much fun anymore? Like,
you're getting to that point, dude. Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. A month ago you were like, bro, I'm like, oh, I
think
see.
It's really hit or miss though.
Dude,
I don't know.
Next month you're going to start brunching and then it's going to be all over for you.
Once I start going to brunch, I'm really calling the quits.
Yeah,
but
I don't know, man. Yeah,
like it's fun being out with your friends and stuff. Like I was with two and three, like three or four of my really good friends. But like at the end of the night, it's just like, all right, like, you know, like was this really like anything special?
Dude, the thing for me is like, no matter what I do, even if I'm like at my high, I'm still yawning at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock because I'm such an early bird. So yeah. Like brunch is ideal for me because you go to brunch, you get hammered, and then you go out all day. And like by 6 o'clock, like, you know, the college vibes, you're like ready for bed. So that for me is ideal. So like we hit brunch, you know, we left like 2:30, whatever, went to Stumble Inn and stayed at Stumble until like 5:30 and then just called it quits. And I like just came home and
watched a giant game. Yeah.
I tried to watch the Giant game. That game was
terrible.
Tough to watch.
Yeah, it was,
man.
Terrible.
Holy shit.
Also, I feel like you'd appreciate this. So I was with like my roommate from college, George, and he looks at me. We were with his girlfriend also, and he's like, dude, can you please leave? Like, I just want to get the fuck out of here, but she wants to stay. But if you leave, it'll help me like get out of here. This is probably like 1 a.m. And I look at him. I'm like, well, now that I know you're dying to go, I'm gonna wait this out as long as I can. And I'm just going to try to have fun for like another 40 minutes just to see you be miserable. Like, because he was like at the point where he's like, just like nodding his head, not really dancing, like clearly wants to fuck out.
Yeah.
It was so funny just to mess with him.
That's great. Yeah, that's always, I mean, that's great. You're a schmuck. You'll get to the point, dude. Like, I don't know. I mean, I was still I still go out, but
yeah,
it's just not the same. Like, I feel like once you hit like, I don't know, 28, your going out starts consisting of like going to dinner, getting hammered at dinner, and then just like grabbing a drink after and then going home. Like, you don't
that sounds nice. Yeah, like that sounds amazing.
It's great. It's great. And then brunch, like, you know, you get drunk at brunch too, and then that's when you go out if you want to go to like day bars and shit. But
yeah,
I can't do like the so funny enough, you know, my friend who you know as well, Kyle Axman, hit me up and wanted to go to Griffin, who's like my favorite house.
Yep.
I was telling you, my favorite house music artist. He's awesome, on Friday. And he was like, I have an extra ticket, like VIP, like all this stuff, whatever. So I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty fucking good. Yeah, I'll come, like whatever. He's like, wait, here's the kicker. He doesn't go on till 1:30. And I was like, I'm out. I was like, yeah. he's like, it'll be like 1:30 to 3:00. You know, we'll be home in bed by like 3:30. I'm like, yeah, that's a no for me. Like if it was like 11, I'd go. But dude, 1:30's tough, man.
Yeah, that's
think
tough.
About your friend. Your friend would have been miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's tough. But I guess, yeah, enough of the therapy session. But happy birthday, and I'm sure, you know, will wish you happy birthday that are listening. As far as like Ranger stuff goes, I thought the Rangers did a really cool thing on Saturday. They had an open practice. There was a really good amount of people there. I thought it was
who'd
like
you go with?
I went with George, the guy I was just talking about, and my friend from junior, Ben. Okay. I played hockey with both of them. Ben I played with in Texas, George I played with at UMass. And it was cool. Like, you know, we didn't pay anything for tickets. The garden was like fully open, concessions were open. Like Stefan Matteau, Ron Greshner, a bunch of former Rangers were like in the concourse signing autographs.
I think
Foxy signed autographs after. I didn't stick around after, but he told me he was. But it was cool. Like there was probably like 8,000 people there just to watch the Rangers practice. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a crazy practice, but they like threw t-shirts after and the players, you know, got to like interact with the fans. It was definitely a cool thing and it was cool to see the turnout. But yeah, I mean, I wish the Rangers could do more stuff like that just to have, you know, fans involved. I know that other organizations do like season ticket holder kind of events where they open up the guard or open up the arena and fans can like tour the locker room. So just like kind of stuff like that would be really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty sweet. Like I wish I could have gone, obviously I had, you know, other things to do, but it's really cool that a team does that, especially obviously the Rangers at the Garden. I mean, I feel like it's such a, especially as a little kid, I mean, you must love, like,
yeah.
Not you personally, even though you are a little kid, but like,
well, I said, if I was a little kid, I would have been eating this shit up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And also speaking of Foxy, dude, like if you want to, you know, text him and get him to like throw me some signed merch or something for my birthday, that'd be dope. But you know, anyway, no, get him to send me a cameo. You know what I mean? Like look alike. Yeah. But going on to some Rangers talk, man, there wasn't that much happening this past week. Obviously, they played the Bruins. Yes, I said the Bruins were frauds. Yes, I got a lot of shit for it. But you know what? Listen, I never said they're not a good team. They're a very good team, and I still think they're a very good team. I just don't think they're going to be that team in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. I don't think they're going to be that team in the playoffs. That being said, yeah, they fucking outplayed us in every aspect of the game. I think other than the last 3 minutes of the game where we were like firing on all cylinders and you know really really sticking it to them, I thought we got outplayed the entire game. That being said, I know I maybe like 2 weeks ago I said we can't keep doing this, but this is the exact game where you just burn the tape and move on. Yeah.
But that's a measuring stick though of like where the Rangers need to get to.
And that's what I said to you, man. That's exactly what I said to you. Like that game showed the Rangers are a really good team, but they're not the team right now. And they're not probably not even a top, you know, 4 or 5 team. They're probably in that like 6 to 10 range. You know, and I think to get into that top team, I mean, listen, they need a score. We know that, but like, they also need other things to start clicking for them, because if you look at a team like the Bruins, I mean, dude, they're having like random guys like be some form of contributors, right? Obviously Pasta, and I mentioned this, like an Allmark are going off. And you know, they got the usual suspects like who are really good, like Marchand and, you know, Bergeron and stuff. But I mean, dude, like DeBrusque is going off. I mean, he has like 16 goals or something. I mean, obviously Lindholm is great, but they have all these random guys like Charlie Coyle has over 10 goals and Frederick has over 10 goals. So, you know, we need guys on our side, like the Kakkos and the Crabsaws and the Lafreniers and all these kids that we invested so much time and effort in. Like we need them to start really holding their weight in that regard. And it's not me saying that the kids can't, you know, still come into their own, whatever. That's fine. I just think it's time, right? It's time. They need to start producing, because if they don't, like, whether we get a score or not, like, that's not going to fix all of our problems, right? We need some of these kids and some of these top nine guys to start putting up points, right? We can't just have an assist every four games and be like, oh, this person's back. You know what I mean?
But this is also what we talked about this summer when I said, like, this is going to be a year of regression, because you can't just throw kids into this, you know, position and expect them to succeed right away. Like, these things take so much time. Like,
it's been time, man. It's been time.
No, it hasn't.
This is Kako's fourth year in the league, bro.
Yeah, but he hasn't been getting like all that opportunity really until this year.
I mean,
he hasn't.
I mean, dude, come on.
Last year he was hurt a lot. Also,
Lafreniere three. I get time, and you know, I get they're not at their peaks yet. They're probably not even close to it. Like, I'm sure Hedl's probably getting somewhat close to his ceiling, but. Dude, I mean, you know, we can't expect to give every single one of these kids 5 years. And the reason I say that is because we have fucking Dolan as our owner. And he's straight up said, like, dude, this guy's not afraid to, you know, fire people. Like, Gallant was on the hot seat supposedly earlier this season where people were like freaking out. Like, he could make a move. You never know. Like, so, dude, they're expected to win. And, you know, they're playing at the world's most famous arena. And they're at the point where they're expected to win. So, you know, we can't have it on both sides where we're like waiting for these kids to slowly progress, but then also expect to be this top dog who can take out anyone in the playoffs. Like, it's one or the other. So it's either, you know, we're a good team, we're a young team, and we're waiting for these kids to, you know, get into it and fine. All right, we'll be a playoff team and we're not going to get anywhere. Or we keep having these cup aspirations. We're going to go all in at the deadline and get a score, which we're probably going to do, and get a top talent. But then we need to go for it all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just think it's crazy how different this season would have been had the Penguins just beaten the Rangers in five last year.
Totally. Totally. You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
You know, like the whole vibe of the season, just I'm trying to think now with a different perspective, just what I'm going to say here. Like, had the Rangers been performing the way they are right now, if they had lost to the Penguins in five, there would be way more positives than negatives, I feel like. But because of where they went last year,
yeah,
the season as a whole feels way more negative than it does positive, which is like so fucked up, because last year was really the first year after the rebuild where, like, you know, they should make the playoffs and like get somewhat of experience in the postseason. And then they have this magical run where they go to the conference final, and now they're expected to have success in the postseason. So it's just like,
yeah,
it's weird kind of messed up mentality where, like, at the end of the day, like, sure, the core really of this team is Kreider, Mika, Panarin, you know, Trocheck.
Well, that's an
now.
Issue in itself, right?
Like, they're a little bit older, you know.
I think that's an issue in itself because, like, other than Foxy, who's been playing great, dude, Panarin and Mika haven't really been doing much of anything. And Kreider's obviously been out. And, you know, those are the guys you look to come through for this team when some of the young guys aren't playing well. And it's like, you know, Panarin and Mika have been sitting around that 45-point mark for almost 8, 10 games now. So, you know, it's really tough because the Rangers, I think, only have like 7 goals in their last 4 games. And Igor's played well, man. Igor's been playing really well, and he can't do it all. Fox can't do it all, and they need some offensive talent. You know, obviously they're going to bring in a scorer, but they got to figure stuff out because they're – I still truly do believe they're a very good team. And, you know, I think they could be a great team if they get that score and if their kids start to figure it out. So
the Rangers have 7 goals in their last 4 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, a lot counting? Of it.
Is that what you were just mouthing to yourself?
Yeah, I was looking at it. But also a lot of that has to do, and we're going to get dive into this also. I feel like we should go into fan questions now.
Yeah, let's go into fan questions.
So let's go into the first one, which is what I want to talk about is, from You've Been Bexed, are you worried about the power play yet? And I feel like we've been talking about this a little bit more.
Yeah.
I am definitely worried about the power play because we've been talking about this for like over a month now. Teams have figured out that if you take away Mika's one-timer, the rest of the power play doesn't really know what to do. Like Kreider last year was money in front of the net. That's not really happening this year.
Yeah.
And Panarin's obviously not a shoot-first guy. Fox, obviously not a shoot-first guy. They need to have more of a shoot-first mentality. But the Rangers power play right now is, I think, 20th or 21st in the league. They're at, I believe, here it's going to say it on the bottom right now, 21.6%. But the NHL standard right now, like 21.6%, you know, probably would have been really good 5 years ago. But now all these teams are at like 25% and above. And this just isn't going to cut it. Like the Rangers are literally the bottom pack on the power play after last year being like a top five power play team all season long.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, you're not wrong, and it's tough. I mean, it's been tough to watch, and I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, Mika is one of the nicest one timers I've ever seen. So he's as money as it gets. But yeah, Kreider's not putting those things in the net. Lafreniere's gotten some PP one time. He's not doing shit. Okay.
Everybody, I think I saw the first power play unit has scored once on their last like 25 attempts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. So I guess, you know, I don't want to take too much time on this question, but yeah, I'm concerned. I'm absolutely concerned on the power play. And if you look at the Rangers last year, they were not a great team without their power play. Their power play drove them, you know, 4 out of 5 games, they were getting power play goals. And, you know, if you're taking that away, like you're seeing they're not scoring as much, and they need to find a way around that, and I just hope Gallant can motivate them to, you know, figure that out. But
yeah, no, I think, listen, we talked about it last year in the playoffs too, right? Like, what do you need to win the Stanley Cup? You need good special teams and a good goalie. Yeah. And if the special teams isn't doing well, the Rangers aren't going to go very far. So hopefully they can figure that out. Let's go into the next one from Ice Code Brando. Why does Gallant continue to suffocate our top six kids?
Interesting word choices, but you know, he switches up the lineups a lot, right? We've consistently complained about that. Also, thank you, Johnny. I'm you know, looking out to not say that being said today.
You said it like 5 times already.
I haven't said it once, dude.
Bro, yeah,
bro, no.
You said it at least 5 times.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Oh wrong. My god, you're oblivious.
Wrong. Okay, but anyways.
I'm going to count when I edit this.
Okay, that's fine.
How many times you said it.
That's fine. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he keeps changing the lines, and it's, yeah, that's all I have to say that.
Well, right now, the second line as we are talking for tomorrow's game against the Panthers or tonight's game as you're listening is VZ, Trocheck, Gaudreau. So it's Panarin, Mika, and Kreider on the first line. VZ, Trocheck, Gaudreau, second line. Kidline on the third line. And
dumb.
Listen,
that line's not scaring anyone, dude. That second line's not scaring anyone.
No, like Trocheck, yes, but VZ and Gaudreau are just not second line players. Like, I mean, VZ can be anywhere in the lineup, but like, is he a scary second liner? No,
he's not. All right, let's move on.
Well, now we can go into this too. My Rocky 93 thoughts on the Kidline being reunited. Like, listen, the Kidline, as far as I'm concerned, like they're the old reliable. Like, you know what to expect from them. They can get it done. Like, they bring a lot of momentum to the table, and I'm all for them being together at this point of the year. Like, do we really care about, like, obviously we care about the development of, you know, Lafreniere, Hito, Kako, but like where we are right now, like now they're in third place in the Metro. You want to get some momentum leading into this, you know, back end of the season. You want to feel good about your game going into the playoffs. So I feel like the Kidline would be aligned together when it comes playoff time. So you may as well just let them, you know, figure it out together as we get to the end of the season here.
Yeah, I don't really have much more to add to that. I mean, I like the Kidline together for sure. I think their biggest issue, and it's finding that consistency, right? It's, Johnny said they're good old reliable, which is true, but also it's about being reliable and producing points. And that's been an issue for them in the past. And I think if they could just figure ways to, you know, start scoring, start setting up plays, start putting it in the back of the net, cycle the puck and stuff, like, they'll be okay. So,
Let's go into the next one from Perry Kunavalis. This season, has Fox been the best overall defenseman as far as in the league or on the team? I mean, on the team, that's a lock. Obviously,
in the league, top three. Like in my, I mean, listen, I hate to say it, but there's no way Fox has been better this year than Erik Karlsson. There's just no way. No. I mean, he might be the heart favorite. The guy has like almost 70 points in
Karlsson.
65 points. Yes. 62. So almost 60. He has 62 points in like 46, 47 games. I mean,
he's also on a dog shit team.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, he's playing really well. Obviously, Fox is playing really, really well. as he always does. And then you have a couple other guys. I would say he's for sure top three, obviously top first on the team, but.
Well, he's also been like the most consistent. I mean, I think other defensemen that have played really well, like Rasmus Dahlin stands out. He's been incredible.
We talked about Morrissey.
Really good. I don't watch the Jets play all that much, so I can't really speak to that. Dahlin's been really good. I watch a lot of Buffalo. Makar obviously has been great, but he's also had some, you know, iffy back and forth kind of stretches because Colorado had a lot of injuries and they weren't really good earlier in the year. Yeah. And they're still not really even a playoff team right now as we're talking. Quinn Hughes, another guy who's been playing really well this year, but it took him like 30 games to score a goal. You know, so I think Foxy's definitely been the most consistent outside of Carlson, and he should be getting more talks for the Norris. Like in my mind, it just, you know, he's not such a flashy player, so it doesn't look as pretty, and that's probably why he's not being talked about as much.
Yeah, but he's our Norris. All right, keep going.
From Eric Weinberger 5, what move do the Rangers have to make to get closer to the Bs?
I literally asked this exact question during our interview with Nick, and I'll kind of reflect that here.
We should tell people too that we have a great interview today with Nick Alberga. Great guy, good friend. Should have mentioned that earlier.
There's a couple guys who they need who could really, really help this team right now. Bo Horvat's obviously one. I know we're not particularly looking for a center, but I truly believe, and I said this to Johnny, I know it would be a mistake, but I truly believe Filip Hedl is going the other way if you're making that caliber type of move strictly for cap space. So I don't think at this point you can look at position player. I think you just need a guy who scores goals. You know, Bo Horvat's a really good choice. Kuzmenko's a really good choice. Another Vancouver guy. Additionally to that, obviously Timo Meier's been talked about. You know, Tarasenko is my guy. I think one of those four players would really, really help this team. Of course, Patrick Kane as well. So those would be like my five guys. I think getting any one of those guys would really, really help this team. And, you know, it would get us closer. But I think the answer lies internally. Like, we need some of these kids to start producing a little bit more and, you know, finding that consistency and evening us out a little bit, because we're top heavy right now. So
also the thing that is so good about Boston too, I think, is their decor is like so strong. I mean, not only are they solid defensively, but they have a lot of offensive talent too. Like McAvoy and Lindholm have been unbelievable this year. Connor Clifton has stepped up and played really well. Yeah. Matt Grizzlick has been solid, you know, offensively also for Boston. Brandon Carlo is a shutdown D man. Like, this blue line is stacked. I'm blanking on who there's. Derek Forbert might be their sixth defenseman, but that blue line is so stacked. And then Omar.
There's no Ben Harper, so let's settle down.
Listen, like, as far as skill goes, Fox and Miller are really the only skill.
I'm taking our blue line over the Bruins blue line.
What?
I'm taking our blue line over the Bruins blue line.
Are you sure? I'm not at all.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
I what's your defense on that?
Fox is better than McAvoy.
Uh-huh.
Keandre Miller is pretty much doing the same things offensively as Lindholm's doing, and I like his shutdown ability.
What about
a little
the other
more.
Four?
Can I get there or no?
Yeah, go.
Jacob Trouba's our captain.
You're going down a dangerous path again. You said shit about the Bruins last week.
Dude, listen. Offensively, there's no question about it that they're producing more than us. Like, sure. And yeah, okay, Omark's playing better than Shesty right now. Omark's playing unbelievable. That being said, like, the blue line's the one thing on our end. Like, I personally like our top four better than theirs. And you know what? Schneider's been great too. Like, you're telling me their third pair, you'd take one guy on their third pair over Schneider? Because I wouldn't.
I just think they're more skilled.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's way more close. Like, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, and I think it's way closer than your.
I'm not looking at you like you're crazy. I don't think our bottom four defensemen really have as much or nearly as much skill as the Boston Bruins.
That's fine.
I mean, I agree that like Fox is better than McAvoy, but McAvoy is still like, you know, a top
seven
defensemen in the league. No, I think I take Lindholm over Lindgren. No, I love Lindgren, but skill wise, you can't deny the fact that Lindholm's a much more skilled player than Lindgren is.
No question about it. But we're also not talking about skill. We're talking about putting together.
Well, I'm saying top to bottom, 1-6, the Bruins are a more skilled blue line than the Rangers.
Sure, but I don't think they're a better blue line. I think you got to weigh into the fact grit. You got to weigh into the fact shutdown defenseman. You got to weigh into the fact, like, who's going to protect their goalie and block shots. Like, I look at Trouba, I look at Lindgren, I look at Schneider. Like, those guys block shots. Like, I don't know. I mean, listen, all I'm saying is, and you can make the argument for either one, but I'm just saying it's a lot closer than you're making it seem. And I also think that, like, our blue line is incredibly underrated. Do they do some dumb shit sometimes? Yeah, hell yeah, they do. Okay, they absolutely do. Like when Trouba like kicks the puck in our own net and stuff. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. nobody likes that. But that being said, I think our blue line is incredibly underrated, and I would take ours to war over theirs. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, you literally have a that being said problem.
I know. I just said that.
You were gonna say
you know what? To that note. To that note. Shut up.
Yeah. Mix it up a little bit. You know. Let's go on to the last one. This is from a good friend of mine and his first time asking a question. I know he's been talking about this for a long time too. B-Koch 32. Do you think it will be beneficial for the Rangers to send Alexi Lafreniere down to the minors?
It's a non-starter. It's a non-starter because he needs to clear waivers. So it doesn't. So it's irrelevant.
Well, hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. Yeah. It probably would help him a little bit if they could do it, but they can't do it. So it's just a non-starter.
I want to go back to the point I made about had the Rangers lost in five last year. I think this year, if you send Alexi Lafreniere down, obviously if it's doable, it would be beneficial. But right now where we are in the season, like you want him to, you know, get his game going for the playoffs. Like, listen, if you send him down,
do that to Shane Wright, the Kraken.
Yeah, Shane Wright is down for the Kraken, and he came up and like scored a goal and like felt confident, but I think he's back down again. Byfield, another guy who was sent down a little bit, to, you know, find his game. And listen, I think there obviously are benefits of sending him down, but the problem with sending Lafreniere down is when he comes back up, he's still going to be in the same situation where he's not getting a lot of ice time and not really seeing power play time unless Kreider's hurt. Like, I think it's great for him to go find his confidence down in the minors and maybe get that first line, first power play time. But when he comes back up, the situation isn't going to be any different. So that's why I don't think it's like that beneficial.
So are you saying Gallant's not the right coach for him?
I don't know if Gallant's not the right coach for him. Listen, Lafreniere has gotten the opportunities in the past couple games. Like, Kreider was out. Lafreniere had the chances. He didn't produce. So, like, I don't know if it's a Gallant thing or a team thing. But, you know, that being said.
Yo, Gallant, yeah, see, yeah, you were yeah, just about to
you're,
say.
You're in my head. You're in my
head. In your head, rent-free, baby.
But, to like, you know, on the same breath, like, Lafreniere at this point just has to put up the numbers. Like,
yeah,
it's put up or shut up, I think, at this point. You know, like,
yeah,
we've defended him all season. And like, if he gets the opportunity, he has to break out and do something.
To me, and I've said this to you many, many times last year, this year, it's always been the same thing with Lafreniere for me. I mean, you can, you know, voice that it's the confidence, whatever. To me, it's, and I saw it in the playoffs. It's the first time where I ever saw him not be easy to get knocked off the puck and really go for things. And I think for me, that has always been his biggest issue is he's just like not aggressive enough. And, you know, he has the puck, gets brushed off, and then just goes for a line change. Like, he doesn't fight for things. And I want to see him really like get in there and fight for the puck. You see what Kako does. He bodies dudes who try and take that puck from him. And, you know, Bob's Weeze does what he does to keep it. And if he loses, he goes right in for it again. And I just don't see that from Lafreniere. It can be like partially from the confidence issue. I don't know. But to me, that's always been his one issue. And I think if he figures that out, it will help him immensely. So,
No, I completely agree. And we talk about it a lot with Nick Alberga. So I do think we should go into the interview with Nick. But before we do that, or do you have anything else to say?
No.
Well, before we do that, I definitely want to talk about Magic Mind. We've been working with them for now, a little bit. Magic Mind, you know, for me, I'm a coffee guy. I want to drink 3 to 4 coffees a day, but obviously that's not the ideal situation. So Cody and I have looked at Magic Mind. It's like a little shot of matcha that gives you a ton of energy. I've been taking it before the podcast. It keeps me more awake. And I think last week we recorded at like 4:30 and I took one at 4:30 and I was up till like 4 a.m. because I was just so wired. But Magic Mind has literally been incredible. It allows you to be more productive in your day to day. Like, you take one in the morning, you feel, you know, very energized to kick off your day. I know a lot of people do rely on their coffee, but this is just a quick, simple little shot that gets you going. You know, I highly recommend this. And, you know, I think everyone can be a little guilty of drinking a lot of coffee. So
totally,
you know, do more, stress less, drink some Magic Mind. So go to www.magicmind.co/thebluecrew. That's www.magicmind.co/thebluecrew. Use our code BLUE20. And get up to 56% off with your subscription for the next 10 days. With that code, like I said, we love Magic Mind. I'll take one right now, actually, because it is Sunday at 1 o'clock right now. I got a long day ahead of me watching football, doing some editing. I'm getting a haircut, which is nice, but I'll take my shot right now.
Why don't you dump it in your coffee? Have you ever tried that?
I haven't tried that. That's not a bad idea. But get your magic mind, and let's kick it over to our interview with Nick Alberga. This week on the Blue Crew, we are very happy to welcome on a good friend of mine and now a friend of the show. He hosts the Leafs Morning Take, the Daily Fantasy on Ice podcast. He does a lot. He wears many hats in the NHL. Very happy to have him here. Welcome to the show, Nick Alberga. What's going on, dude?
Not too much, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Hope you're having a great week. And is that Chris Drury, number 23, behind you there, Johnny? Is that what's going on here?
That's my own name. I'm a big fan of myself.
I know.
But I actually, you know, it's funny. I don't really want to talk about myself, but I always wore double numbers.
Tell us. We really want to hear more about it.
I always wore double numbers growing up. I was 88 first for Eric Lindros, who was my favorite player as a little kid. Then I actually wore like 66 one year because 88 was taken. And then I wore 22. And then in college, every double number was taken and you only get 1 to 40. So I had to kind of alternate and go to 23. And I make fun of Fox that he copied 23 because of me. So we'll tell that story for a different time. But now, I don't know if every Ranger fan is familiar with your work. Can you just kind of tell us about what you do, your background? I mean, you've been everywhere. You've done everything. So just get the people a little more familiar with your work before we get into this.
Unfortunately, you butchered the intro, but this is your new intro for the NHL Fantasy on Ice, the podcast.
Did I say daily? I said daily, right? Yeah, I fucked that up.
Same shit. Can I swear on here?
So,
doing that NHL Fantasy on Ice twice a week alongside Pete Jensen. But my main job is working over at the Nation Network, which is working in conjunction, as you know, with Daily Faceoff. Frank Saravalli, his face has been all over there. I host a daily show covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I write about them, and I write about fantasy hockey. But, yeah, pretty much doing a lot of stuff right now.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in here because I don't know. I'm a big fantasy guy for football and even baseball. Yeah. I don't know jack shit about fantasy hockey.
He also called the Bruins frauds last week, so.
I did, and I still think they are frauds at some point. I think they're good right now, but. We'll see. We'll see. That's you know, I have a question about that later. But anyway, So I don't play fantasy hockey. I'm assuming obviously McDavid is the go-to guy who you can always rely on. But, you know, outside of McDavid, who's one other guy who's like been really reliable in fantasy hockey the last few years? And are there any instances where a guy can be playing like really well but kind of suck in fantasy hockey? Like I get that a lot in like football and baseball. So I'm just curious.
Hey, the guy that came up right away when you asked that was Jonathan Toews, right? You look at the body of work at his career and it just really hasn't correlated well enough to the fantasy world, especially in the twilight of his career. To answer your first question, there's a variety of guys who are like bona fide studs in fantasy hockey alongside obviously McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon, Shesty, Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hedman, like those type of players are like bona fide studs where year in, year out, you know what you're going to get. Kirill Kaprizov is another one. I'm sure I'm missing a couple guys.
You're
like
Matthews?
Yeah, you're Matthews boy? In that conversation. Marner, you know, right. Crosby.
He doesn't want to be biased.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really care about the Leafs. I'll be quite honest about it. Like if you listen to a lot of my stuff, I rarely talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that is the biggest misconception about me, I should bring that up right now, is, and I'm sure you guys get the same thing, even though you are diehard New York Rangers fans. I live in Toronto, so right away somebody sees my profile. They're like, okay, screw this, screw that about the Leafs. When ultimately, yeah, I was a Leafs fan growing up, but number one, I was born in Montreal. Nobody seems to know that. Number two, baseball was my first sport. And number three, I'm 33 years of age. With all, you know, all respect to you guys, I just have a hard time rooting for like teams and pro sports teams. I root about waking up every day. You know what I mean? Like your priorities change. And I use sports as sort of a vice to have fun. And that's why I love trolling on social media.
Are you a Jays guy? Are you?
So my friends, every group's got like that troll friend, right? And sadly, I'm that guy. So growing up, big baseball guy. Obviously, you gravitate right away to the New York Yankees. Like Derek Sanderson Jeter is my homeboy. Robbie Cano, before he fucking cheated, what a piece of shit. But I used to love Robbie Cano. I still wear 24 because of the guy. The Boston Red Sox are another team. I just gravitated.
No. We can't mention them on here.
I was going to say, you and Cody might need a room after the Yankees comment, but the Red Sox.
Yeah, they're studs. But I'm just like, it's tough to like quantify. Like I'm a general sports fan and I just have a tough time rooting for teams now. Although, you know, among other teams, like when the Raptors won the title, I was all about that because I'm a Raptors fan since day one. The Jays, I would say I support them out of most teams or any other team at this juncture in my life. Yes, that's accurate.
Got it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, though, because, you know, this up and coming generation of sports fans, like the younger kids, you know, whatever you call them, you know, I feel like for the most part, a lot of them root for players and not for teams. So is that like where you're at? You just like literally have certain players that you want to see win and you root for them and not team focus. I know you kind of just like went into that a little bit, but which players, I guess, do you root for now in the NHL?
So not to make a sob story of it, but I think covering sports and hockey specifically for 12 years has desensitized you to the situation, at least for me. You know, as somebody who was the radio host for the Toronto Maple Leafs for a couple of years during the pandemic specifically, like you start to learn about things like behind the scenes, taking nothing away. Like it's a different life. It's business. You become bitter a bit. You lose your job. Like there's a lot of different variables that go into the situation, which leads you towards that path where you're like, hey, I could not care less what happens tomorrow night in that game or in game 7 of the first round. It's just more so about your livelihood. It's about your life. So that's the way I would phrase it. I love sports in general. In terms of players, Max Pacioretty, and a lot of people know, is one of my favorite players, which is funny. Again, former Montreal Canadian and the captain of that team. He's American. You can't not love Auston Matthews. You know, I got a pretty good relationship with John Cooper with Tampa. Victor Hedman's my homeboy. Did a phenomenal interview with him way back when I was in school at the World Junior. He was like the most humble dude I've ever met in my life. And I can back that up because I've been to Sweden and pretty much everybody there is like the chillest person on earth. love Kucherov. I love a lot of skill guys. Like I was so pumped up last week. We had Claude Giroux.
And yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
He was my favorite player from like, and we're around the same age, but I was always a big Claude Giroux guy. Like I had his jersey growing up, not growing up, but in the last decade. So like, it's always cool. You know, Crosby's always going to be in that conversation when you're Canadian. McDavid, Drysdale, like, and you guys probably feel the same way outside of the New York Rangers. Like I love fantasy hockey and fantasy sports so much. And it's been a part of me for like the better half of like the last 20 years where I'll tune into a random game on like a Sunday night between like the Wild and Sharks just to see what like Timo Meier does. Like I'm just at that stage of my betting life.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm that way with like, funny enough, I'm that way with baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm also that way with football. I'm not that way with hockey.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, John?
No, I was going to say like, I kind of feel the same where I'm a bigger hockey fan than I am a Rangers fan. So like Cody shits on me when I like, you know, tweet about the Devils or other teams that I enjoy watching because I really just love hockey more than I love the Rangers. Like, you know, it doesn't really affect my day if the Rangers lose, but I'm like more than happy to, well, I mean, it does sometimes because I do love the Rangers, but you know, I'm more than happy, like you said, to watch a fucking, you know, I actually watched the Coyotes against the Red Wings the other night, and that was an amazing game.
Yeah.
The shootout was incredible. Like, I just love hockey. I watch hockey every night.
I just can't do it. Can't do it. Like, it's playoffs is a different story totally. But for me, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm obviously a huge hockey, like Rangers fan. You know, massive, massive Yankee fan. I could watch any baseball game and just like throw it on. And, you know, I grew up playing the sport my whole life and I really respect the sport. And I really respect hockey too. I can't do it. Like I watch another team that's not the Rangers and it just doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I respect women so much that I completely stay away from them.
Yeah. I can't believe you just said you respect the sport of baseball. I don't know what league you're watching in the last.
Well, I do respect the sport of baseball. I don't respect Manfred. He's an idiot, but you know.
And so that was the other thing. So there's so many things about me. Like I used to work for Rogers, obviously. I love my time there. But like the things that I just can't help it. Like I have an itchy finger sometimes on social media, and I'm sure you guys do this too now. It's like you
what does that say?
Pardon me?
An itchy finger.
Johnny's too young. He doesn't understand. I got you though.
It's like I want to press send tweet all the time, pretty much. Does that resonate in your brain, Johnny?
A little bit more.
So pretty much what happens is
Johnny
like,
does do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. We all do it. Like something will come up in my head. I'll be like, you know, that's funny. But then you have to do like this secondary crop of it and say, hey, will I offend somebody? Will this piss somebody off? Will it piss off an organization? So there was like a tweet a couple years ago. And for anybody who knows me and knows I love baseball, there's not a lot of people out there specifically on Twitter that know baseball is my number one sport. I hate
I
the Houston Astros without
dude. Like,
there's nothing you can
speaking
do to
bread
tell
and butter
me.
To me.
And so the Toronto Blue Jays go out and sign your guy, George Springer, who I think is a really good player. Don't get me wrong, but will I ever be a fan of him? Probably not because granted people will come at me with, oh, every team cheats the game. I get that. But what they did was despicable. It sort of spit on my whole life of playing baseball, in my opinion. But I tweeted out something. It was George Springer. Like I was watching the game and he was like showing somebody on the team. I think it was Teoscar Hernandez, who funny enough was a former Houston Astro as well. Like he was drawing something in the dirt. And so like right away came to my head. I'm like, this will get some clicks. Put it on Twitter. I'm like, here's George Springer orchestrating and telling Teoscar Hernandez, you know, how he cheated, how they cheated in Houston. And like 5 minutes later, I got a phone call. They're like, yeah, you got to take that tweet down. So it's like a corporate world. Yeah. Corporate world's a lot different. I've learned to be a bit more careful, obviously now working with the Nation Network, still working closely with the NHL. I think there's a way to have fun, but I think you don't realize how easily you can cross the line these days. You know, I'm sure James Dolan loves you guys, right?
I don't know. We haven't talked to him.
We don't. If we're not on his radar, it's a good thing. But
his parody account loves us.
No, you're absolutely, you know, it's a fair point, and you're absolutely right. And Johnny and I were just like talking about it the other day. I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, social media is awesome and everybody loves it, but it is dangerous to an extent, especially Twitter, right? So it's like you need to be careful with those things. But I did want to jump in before Johnny jumps in.
Well, I wanted to add to your point there.
All right, you can add to his point, I suppose.
Well, no, to you, Cody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I liked what you were saying, but I also think like, you know, a lot of people love to say that Twitter is the worst, Twitter is a dangerous place, but everyone goes on there for a different reason. Like, I don't tweet to argue. Like, there are arguments that I embrace, but I feel like a lot of people just have different motives when they go on Twitter. Like Nick, you're a funny guy. Like, you like to have some laughs when you sign up on Twitter. Cody tweets, you know, once in a blue moon. I feel like I wish you can get on there more.
How about that kid who just came after me? He goes on with an agenda. The one who called me a bum as rocks or something like that.
that Bruins take, you kind of deserve that.
It's a fair take. It was the same. It correlates exactly with how the Yankees were playing. They were on pace to be the best team of all time last year, and they finished with 99 wins. Like, say the Bruins, dude, there's 3 months left of hockey. Like, to say the Bruins, I mean, dude, I have a buddy who's a Bruins fan, and he's like chirping me that the Bruins are the greatest team of all time. Like, that's the most insane take I've ever heard. They're not better than the 06-07 Red Wings. No, dude. Bro,
the record is not even
better than the 93-94
Rangers. Just go into your question.
All right. Anyways, don't make me get into this. But no. So you mentioned sports betting. So I'm assuming you are a sports betting guy, right?
Just hockey, bit of baseball, bit of basketball, but that's
okay. Yeah. So
not a big unit guy though.
No, not a big unit guy. I got chirp on my boys for that tweet since you brought it up, Johnny. So and sorry to interrupt, Cody. Like,
no,
so
the World Junior Game.
Yeah,
fucking piece of shit.
We're never going to get to this question. It's going to be the best question of all time. Should I tell this story or move on with this?
Tell it.
Yeah. Cody's frustrated now.
Yeah. Tell it. No.
So long story short, World Junior Game a couple weeks ago, U.S. is up 2-0. I was like, Canada's winning this game. I'm Canadian. They win every time. So I decided to put some money, but I'm the type of bettor who just likes to like have fun. Like, I work too hard for my money to bet big. So I literally put $5 down. It paid out like $8. I was like, whatever. It's great if I can do this. So they won. I posted on Twitter. I made the mistake of posting the amount that I bet.
The unit. Yeah.
And everybody's all over me. My buddies in our group chat on Messenger were all over me. I'm like, hey, I just like to have fun. Just leave me alone. Okay, Cody, go ahead.
Oh, that was the whole story?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. So you mentioned your you know, hockey bettor. Like, what do you think is one surefire hockey bet this weekend? Yeah, that's really it.
When's this podcast going live?
Well, yeah, this is coming out probably Monday. So
No, I'm asking for my friend Johnny so he can so that when it comes out on Monday, we can talk.
I went on Nick's show last week and we were hot. I was like 5-1 in my 6 picks, and I think Nick was 4-2.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge. Okay, I have another question for you. And Johnny wanted to ask something about this, and I know, so I'm purposely stealing it. So this is our iteration of Fuck, Kill, Marry.
Okay.
Which clutch performer do you want on your team come playoffs? Mitch Marner, Mika Zibanejad, or Jake Guentzel?
Okay, so Marner, Zibanejad, and Guentzel.
That's so funny that you picked those three. I had Marner, Panarin, and Hughes.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to like quantify how it correlates to like fuck, marry, kill.
It's like, you know,
in terms of one,
you get like, one for one playoff run, you have one for the rest of his career.
Correct.
And then kills the guy I don't want, right?
Yeah, kills the guy you got to just cut.
You couldn't figure that one out?
I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to get heat for this. Mitch Marner, man. What has he done in the playoffs?
You're killing him? He's the guy. No, I mean, honestly, he's the guy who I was going to kill too. Not even being biased
for
Mika. I just think like, you know, if you're talking playoffs, like any Leafs guy, you just got to cut bait on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would go, I guess I'd fuck Zibanejad, and Jake Gensel's my boy, man. Okay. Look at it. Look at HockeyDB and go look up Jake Gensel in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, every fucking game I bet on this guy, and he scores and he wins cups. Like it's easy for me.
Dude, we know. I mean, he
oh, you know, yeah.
against the Rangers in that 7-game series. I mean, I was with Johnny and he scored too. And we were just like, all right, we're going to peace out.
And that goal in game 7, he scored was fucking sick. Yeah, doesn't get enough credit. That kicked, he kicked it in midair.
Yeah.
And then knocked it on his back and out of midair. That was so sick.
Yeah. Mika is also a very, very clutch player come playoffs. But yeah, Gensel's that guy's borderline automatic.
Mm-hmm. If you had Zibanejad on to talk about being a DJ, that's my biggest fascination, dude, with the guy.
I told you we can't have any current players on. We've been told no by PR
till the off season when you just cold dial them, right?
No, we actually had an interview, not even with a prospect, Bobby Trevino, and we got shot down. When we announced it, they said he can't post it. So,
my goodness,
yeah, it's okay. We'll move on though, but you know, right now it's January 20th. There's been a lot of storylines this year in the NHL. It's been a wild year. Like, you know, Erik Karlsson erupting again. What would you say right now has been the biggest surprise to this point?
Biggest surprise.
Actually, I want to make this a two-parter.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise and then biggest letdown.
So I'll start with the letdown first. I think it's the Vancouver Canucks. I had them pegged to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they are far away from that. And I don't know what the hell they're doing with Bruce Boudreaux, who's a friend.
His interview today.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier today too. Just pull the cord, man. It's just a tough situation there when it comes to Gabby and the Vancouver Canucks, and they have no clue what they're doing. I still think Jim Benning's there, by the way, because JT Miller, and I'd love to get your thoughts, boys, on JT Miller at some point, because I start to wonder, an exceptional player, but why has he been on 17 different teams? And I keep asking this question everywhere he goes.
Character issues.
There's your answer. Yes.
What'd you say?
Character issues. I mean, that's obviously why. He had issues with the Rangers when he was on the Rangers. I mean,
one clip this year that went viral too of him slamming his stick on the back of the net for.
Sick player though. Sick player.
Yeah, that's a good. That was a good question, John. I could tell.
He didn't give his. What was the first part?
Surprise.
Yeah.
It's got to be Boston. I get this question a lot. It's Boston, and I'm sorry to say this because you are a Rangers podcast, but nobody in their right mind could have expected the Bruins to do this. I wondered if they were going to be a bubble team, right? No Marchand, no McAvoy, no Carlo. There was others who were missing in the first 20 games of the season, and they literally just kept winning and winning and winning. It's got that Last Dance feel to me, at least, Patrice Bergeron. God,
don't do that to me.
He strikes me as a guy who's just going to hang it up when he's still in his prime. And I understand he's getting a bit up there in his 30s, but I still think he has a lot of game left. He just strikes me as a guy that one day is going to be you know what, I'm done. And he's on a 1-year contract right now. They got Krejci in the mix. It just has that feel in Boston this season.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted Boston would be this hot this early. I guess that's what a good coach does for you. Obviously their old coach was no bueno. Johnny, what would my letdown be? I'm so curious if you know what it is.
What would your letdown be for the season as a whole?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Even if it's just for the, I mean, it's gotta be Alexi. Year.
Yeah, there you go. I called it too. No,
actually it's really? Not. I mean, that's a really good one, but I was going to say the Ducks.
That's the obvious one.
The Ducks.
Oh, yeah. Cody bet me that the Ducks would finish better, ahead of the Devils this year.
Yeah. It's funny. The Adam Henrique revenge angle there. The Ducks are interesting, too, right? Because they picked up Strom.
They picked up
Frankie Vetrano, Klingberg.
Yeah.
Gibson's
a pretty good goalie.
I got heat, if you do remember that. I got heat last spring for suggesting that Gibson would be open to a trade, which I still back, by the way. I think he will, but they covered that up really, really quickly, and I had some pretty good sources on that. They're just a team, especially in that division, right? It's so wide open. Seattle, as we have this conversation.
I was just going to say, that's the surprise. Yeah, that's
exactly.
My surprise.
Because then first now you start to see Edmonton's starting to cook, Calgary. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but on paper, they're a really good team. LA backed by Phoenix Copley. Are we serious here? There's so many open question marks with that division. And then you look at a team like Anaheim, just couldn't capitalize on it.
Mm. Right.
Huberdeau, I think, has been a big letdown too this year.
Cooper,
he was my first pick in that.
That was your guy. Pass. Yeah, that was your guy.
Well, because Anadua fucking stole Kaprizov right from underneath me. But yeah, no, like Huberdeau to me, I thought obviously, you know, Matthews puts up 60 last year, but I thought Huberdeau could have been MVP. Like I thought like people had a misconception about Barkov and Huberdeau that Barkov kind of carried him, but I thought it was the other way around. Like I thought Huberdeau, you know, for the most part was the, you know, heart and soul of that Panthers team. Obviously they get swept by Tampa in the second round, but man, he's had a tough year out in Calgary.
Analytics community hates Huberdeau too, which I think is really, really interesting. But I just, it shows you, and you guys know this being in that market too, like when you're under the microscope, taking nothing away from Sunrise in Florida, they have like four media members. Like you can get away with having a couple of shit games in a row. You can't do that in Calgary. You have one bad game. They're like, hey, why were you a -3 tonight? And I think it spiraled a bit out of control. I think the other thing that's working against him is the head coach, Daryl Sutter. Like he doesn't care who you are. We're playing some crash and bang puck. And it's the style's a lot different than I think what he's accustomed to seeing with the Florida Panthers. So I do think there's going to be a bit of a transition period. I think if you're asking me about fantasy hockey, I still think there's value in Huberdeau in the second half to find his game. I mean, you don't just wake up one day and get 100 points. Like you have to have something to your game that leads you to that ability. So I do have faith in Huberdeau here in the second half, and especially moving forward. This is just year one of this contract. They rewarded him, and I think it'll pay off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I have to agree. Like, good players always figure it out.
Yeah.
He'll be just fine. And also, speaking of Huberdeau, I know he's obviously not on the Panthers anymore. But Johnny, you said the only game this week was the Leafs. We also have the Panthers on Monday.
Yes.
You're welcome. Honestly, you're welcome.
Do they? Wait,
yeah, we do.
But on the sauce all right, for Friday.
All right, I got a good question.
I did take like an hour nap before this.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have some magic mind. But anyways. Friday. Have you been watching the Rangers at all, like here and there, Nick?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So you obviously know they're, you know, top 6, 7, 8 team in the league, anywhere within that, you know, 6 to 8 range.
But 10 probably, right now as we're talking.
Sure. But probably still not playing up to the level of a team like the Bruins right now, obviously. So like, who do you think is one guy that the Rangers need added to their team, you know, to be able to not only compete, but beat a team like the Bruins right now in the playoffs?
They just got him. It's my boy, Ben Harper, who was called up like a month ago. That's my guy, man. I met him last summer. Absolute beauty.
Sniped last night.
Yeah.
That pissed me off, by the way. And I texted him. I'm like, dude, I got Swayman in fantasy hockey. Like, you just didn't have to do that to me. But good on the kid. He's an absolute gem. Yeah, exactly. First tuck as a Ranger. It's got to feel good. Maybe Margot Robbie's in the building. You just never know on Broadway, right? It's always a good feel there. I want to see the Rangers go big game hunting. And I think to that point, they usually are that team, are not afraid to make that big move. A couple of years back with Martin St. Louis, like they're not, you know, concerned with that type of conversation. I think they have to realize they have one of the best goaltenders on the planet, one of the best defensemen on the planet, some unbelievable forwards. To me, they still make the most sense for Patrick Kane. Obviously the correlation, the friendship with Artemi Panarin, the chemistry. But I want to see them, you know, get a big time stud. I don't know if they're going to be involved on Horvat, who sounds like it could be imminent, Ryan O'Reilly, but I think they can definitely utilize what they've stockpiled in terms of assets and turn it over. Because I just think the window, and teams always talk about this, if you have an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, it's just so hard now. There's even two more teams, so there's 32 in the league. I think when you have an opportunity and you have a goalie like that and a defenseman like that, that you can really ride in the playoffs, I say go after it within reason here.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny and I have talked about this a good amount. Obviously, Kane is, you know, one of the names who keeps consistently coming up. But, I mean, Horvat, I know he's not the position we're looking for. Ideally, we want a right winger. But, you know, we need a goal scorer more than anything else. And, like, that is he's the definition of a goal scorer. Like, obviously, Timo Meier would be ideal, right, because he could slot right in there. But they need to figure some shit out with their cap. But, yeah, Kane, I mean – yeah, honestly, I'll take any one of them. I would take Vetrano back. Just saying.
Well, I was just going to say Vetrano too, right? He was a good fit last year, no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was great, and fans loved him. I think he scored like 13 goals in 21 regular season games.
Nine or something, but yeah.
Maybe total.
So let me ask you guys this. Would Alexi Lafreniere in your world still be an untouchable? Because he has been linked to the Vancouver Canucks, right?
We've talked about it. You know, we go back and forth on it. I think, and Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we came to the conclusion, like, it just doesn't make sense for the Rangers to move him. They're not going to get even close to, like, what they want for him. And his upside is still quite literally an unknown, right? So, like, they have these tough decisions to make at the end of this year between Hedl, Keandre, and Lafreniere. They're probably only going to be able to keep two. Keandre at this point is, even if you're not moving Lafreniere, he's more of an untouchable. Yeah. So, like, I like Hedl a lot, and I think he's huge part of this team. But, you know, to me, he's the one guy who, unfortunately, like, I could see him being in a move. That being said, like, am I against Lafreniere being in a move if we're getting somebody back who we can get? Well, right. You don't want to make the move for,
it's
like,
about the return.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to make the move for, like, a Tarasenko or a Kane, and then he's gone. Like, that would be the most pointless rental thing of all time. But if you're doing it for, you know, I know Timo Meier has a $10 million qualifying offer attached to him, but if you're doing it, you know, for him and then offloading somewhere else and whatever, you figure something out, like, sure, fine, yeah.
How about Kuzmenko?
That's a name that's floating around a lot. But also, like, the thing about that point, too, I said this, you know, probably like a week or so after Reeves asked for the trade or whatever that story is. It hasn't, the full truth hasn't really come out yet. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be tough for Lafreniere, but, like, I could see him just, like, asking for, you know, a fresh start somewhere else. Like
the old Dubois, like, get me to Montreal.
I mean, dude, he's getting like, listen, I feel so bad for the kid because he is getting not, like, if he is on Twitter reading anything, like, he's getting nonstop. Like, the fans are all over him. And, like, not that it's, like, unwarranted. You know, he hasn't really produced much. He hasn't.
Dude, he would thrive somewhere else, though, and we know he would.
I think the issue right now, too, is the body language also. Like, at times, it seems like he just doesn't give a fuck because things aren't. And listen, I've been in that position. I mean, not in his position, but I've been in the position where.
Bro, you had 3 goals in college. Let's settle down.
Where'd
you play?
Don't toot his horn, dude.
But,
he played with Kale McCarr, didn't he?
But I'm just saying, like, you know, when things aren't going your way, like, sometimes you don't want to think too much and you want to, like, not care as much because the more you think, the harder you grip your stick and the more pressure you put on yourself. So I see him out there, like, you know, doing the mustache with the fucking chin strap and he's trying to have as much fun as he can because, you know, listen, at the end of the day, you're playing in the NHL every day. You want to have fun. You want to find ways to enjoy it no matter how you're playing. So I feel so fucking bad for the kid. Like, I want him to do well so bad.
Yeah. I understand. Sorry to interrupt. Like, I understand feeling bad for players, but A, makes a shit ton of money.
Not yet. He's on a DLC. Well, I guess
he's still that's relatively speaking, it's pretty decent money.
Yeah.
B, you're
okay.
You're on Broadway. Like, let's fucking go here. The guy's wheeling around. Who knows what's happening behind closed doors? Like, he's having a time, right? Michael Delzato styles on Broadway. Like maybe I'm just speculating, but like,
I heard he came in a little out of shape. I did hear that.
Okay. Well,
breaking news.
Yeah, there it is. Put it on Twitter.
No, you're not wrong,
continue,
though. Like,
yeah, continue.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, like, it's really tough with him. It's a really, really tough situation because the Rangers know, right? They know if they're moving this kid, he's going to go somewhere else and he's going to be a stud. Like, some, we have had a problem over the years. It's not hidden, you know, like, we've had a problem developing young forwards, right? It's Lafreniere, even Kako, if you want to talk about him, Kravtsov, Hedl took a while, Anderson, like, there's been plenty, right?
Howden.
Your, like, boy. There's been plenty. I mean, Howden never really panned out anywhere, but whatever.
I know, it's
being a joke. But seriously, like, we've had trouble developing some young forwards.
Yeah.
That's why we have a stud right now, our top prospect, Brendan Othman, who is absolutely lighting it up in the OHL.
Yeah. Can't wait to fuck him up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that's why they're being so careful. And they could have had to make the team, but they send him back to the OHL, whatever, because they know, right? So I think in terms of Lafreniere, it's just a matter of, like, is he going to figure it out? And do you take the gamble and re-sign him and keep him? And you need to know, giving him that contract, he very well may not pan out.
Yeah. And I was just going to piggyback off that. It, like, to me, ultimately what came to mind was Jack Hughes. Like, if you do remember early on in his career, he had moments, right? Lafreniere has had moments. I thought he was pretty decent in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs on the kid line. I think sometimes people do forget, too, what happened is that he was drafted during the pandemic. Like, he missed an entire OHL season for his progression, for his development. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses. Like, you either have it or you don't at the NHL level. But what I'm saying is that, you know, guys find it at different points. Like, a perfect example is Josh Morrissey. did anybody know that he had this in him where he can be a Norris sort of front runner or candidate, no. right? So no. Defensemen are a different story, certainly, but I'm still giving Lafreniere, the benefit of the doubt that he could find it in the next couple of years. And I think to your points, like, if I'm the Rangers, I'm not trading this guy unless like the value is fair. And yeah. I don't think the value is going to be coming in right now.
I mean, yeah, to your point, like you did say a name there who's very appealing, right? Kuzmenko. And,
yeah.
you know, the Canucks are the team that if you don't want a Meyer, you don't want a Tarasenko, you don't want a Kane, like they're a team that has four or five guys and shiny toys who are very appealing. Like, you know, you have Kuzmenko, you have Besser, you have Horvat. So there's a lot of guys who can really, really help a team like the Rangers. It's just a matter of like ironing it out.
They're going to blow it all up too, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, I mean, Kuzmenko's a rookie, but he's also a 26-year-old rookie. So it's like, I'm sure he would rather go to a contender than starting on a team who's about to blow it all up and, you know, deal with this whole thing. So like, he's the guy I would watch out for, and he's tearing it up. So like, there's he's almost a point per game player. So there's no reason why, you know, you can't look at that and be like, what if it is him and Horvat for a crazy, you know, major package or something like that. So I don't know. I never say never, but I guess to answer your question, like we're both on the same page. We don't see it happening.
Oh, we're still on the Lafreniere question?
Yeah, man.
We're still on that question, man.
Good combo.
We don't see it happening. And I think one way or another, the Rangers are going to bite the bullet and like let this kid sink or swim. And that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I guess while we're on the topic too, though, Nick, what's a trade at the deadline coming up, which I believe is March 4th, right? That's
3rd.
It's
March 3rd.
Shows what I know.
That's amazing.
Hey, I got news today.
Like April last year? Something crazy, like March 27th or something like that, right?
Well, the season was a little bit, pushback.
That was awful.
Johnny, I was saying I got word today. You have me on social. I love trades, and someone make a trade, hashtag NHL.
Tweet it every day.
I'm getting that on a t-shirt.
Oh, you are?
Team LTD, my friends over at Team LTD, we're working on something, and we're going to try to release it around All-Star break. So
will you send me an XL? Don't body shame.
Hook you up, bud.
Nice.
I'll sign it, too.
Cody wears a medium.
Even though I'm bigger than you. You're thick, though, dude. Johnny wears an XL, and it's, like, so baggy because he's just got those noodle arms. But, you know.
That would make me thick, then.
No.
You got tree trunks, Johnny?
What's I'm saying situation? You think you're thick.
I don't do legs. I don't squat anymore. But can I ask a fucking question?
I guess.
We were talking about trades, and Nick literally tweets every day someone make a trade. Yeah. But like, what is one actual move, a realistic move that you want to see come deadline time?
Patrick Horvat's Kane. Gonna happen. It sounds like Meyer is gonna happen. As you know, I work with Frank Saravalli. Yeah. I had him on the show today, actually, on Leafs Morning Take. So check
that
out.
That's why I said Daily Fantasy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I understood what you're saying. I was just being a jackass.
You can.
I think St. Louis guys. Like to answer, like another guy that would make sense for the Rangers now and long term, Vladimir Tarasenko. I love the Russian effect with Panarin. By the way,
Cody's 6 to midnight right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I think he would make a lot of
midnight.
Literally, dude, I've been talking about Tarasenko since like
last year.
literally last year. I mean, that's my guy, and I know he's not producing right now how he should.
Whatever. Yeah,
but like, dude, he's over it, right? He's like over the blues. He never rescinded his trade request. He will come to Broadway and kick ass.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, I think the Blues for me are the team to watch that nobody's talking about, because if you do recall, like Doug Armstrong is not afraid to be a buyer and a seller. I think it was Paul Stastny a couple of years ago when they were still in a playoff spot. Like, he's not afraid, you know, the way he handled the Pietrangelo situation. I know it was offseason too, but what I'm getting at is that like they're not afraid to like trade a guy and then do business elsewhere. Like it would never happen, but like trading for a Horvat and then dealing an O'Reilly, like something along those lines. I'm not saying it's going to happen that way, but I you know, talk about creative GMs. Doug Armstrong is among them in this league. And so I'm very curious. I got these bushy eyebrows set on Tarasenko and O'Reilly. What happens there? Because I think the writing could be on the wall, and they're both injured right now too.
Mm-hmm. Dude, imagine they both get dealt in a package to the Rangers for like Hedel, because the Rangers would need to fill that C void. You get O'Reilly
give
in there.
Give them Blayback.
And then a couple other guys, you know? Yo, Sandy dude, Blay. Dude, I'll give them Blayback. I am not even kidding you for like a
Cody would Venmo them $500 to get
I will Venmo them and I will like, I'll sign a stick for them because, you know, it's worth going to be
when
worth
they made that trade, though. Like, he was trending in the right direction. I remember my fantasy team name. Holy I have a shit, ring. It says man. Able Blay. That was my team name.
Dude, that, I mean, there has been, you know, you couldn't predict it was going to be that bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's got to be like they had to make the move.
Ben Harper scored before him.
Yeah, I mean, they had to make the move, right? They had no cap. Like, yeah. They had to make the move, but like, holy shit, was that just an all-time bad trade? I mean,
yeah.
I think every team can say that, though, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's revisionist history, right? I brought this up on Twitter the other day. Remember the Gustafson for Talbot trade? We all
yeah, that was a great point that you made.
Like Bill Guerin was pushed into a corner. Talbot's like, I want to be the number one. You just signed Fleury. Like, get me the fuck out of here. And he sends him to Ottawa, picks up Philip Gustafson, who really struggled in his first couple games in the NHL. And now he's pretty much competing for the number one job with Marc-Andre Fleury. You just never know. But I think that's the great element of sports is like, there's a bit of risk involved. Like, there's a bet every time you make a trade. Is it going to work out? Is it not? On paper, it looks great. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a fucking crazy business, man. And although, and like, you know, what I love too is like watching these guys come out of nowhere, like, you know, especially with the Penguins in you know, last couple of years, like the Connor Sherrys and the Brian Russ and those guys who like played in college, you know, especially, you know, being a college hockey fan, like watching those guys thrive too. And, you know, essentially they're like kind of no names when they come into the league and, you know, all of a sudden they become these, you know, pretty elite players. And something I kind of want to transition to a little bit, you've obviously, you know, talked about some relationships you have in the league with players, coaches, media members. I'm curious about any Ranger players in particular. I don't know if you've interacted with any of them, but even if it's not Rangers, like who are just your favorite players that you've had the chance to interact with or hang out with or even like drink beers with?
I'm trying to think, like I remember a couple of years ago, and it's a sore subject now, right now, but Bobby Ryan at All-Star Weekend a couple of years in Columbus was a lot of fun. Good dude. Tyler Seguin I've been out with a couple of times. Michael Delzato, somebody actually covered in junior hockey back in the day, Nazem Kadri to an extent, guys like that, like everybody who knows me knows I'm pretty tight with Adam Henrique, and that just pretty much happened towards interviewing him like years ago, and then we just sort of stayed in touch, and I covered him in the OHL too. Like you start to forge relationships when you're, you know, talking to people day in and day out, and especially when I worked at NHL Network Radio, I was having guys on like all the time. Zach Dalpy's my boy. He was with
the Panthers. That guy.
Yeah, he's the Dalp doctor, man. He got sent down and I told him to pack his shit yesterday because Eric Staal got hurt, but they didn't recall him yet. But like a lot of these guys are like consummate dudes. And you know, it was one thing I didn't realize growing up, like they watch and are tuned into the league more than you think. And they know what's going on social media too. Like I know Dalps got after me a bit because I tweeted out a couple weeks ago. I'm like, are the Panthers making the playoffs? And he like messaged me. He's like, what's with that tweet? I'm like, oh, I forgot you follow me. Whatever.
it's so true, dude. I have one really funny story actually that I want to tell quick while we're on that point. Last year the Rangers played the Bruins. Funny enough, because they played the other night, and one of my covers articles was like the Rangers money line in Boston. Like it's the Johnny Lazarus guarantee. Like obviously, like the Messier, you know, making a joke out of that. After the game, the Bruins won like 4-1. McAvoy is a good friend of mine. He likes the tweet, then DMs me. Good call, Messier. so fucking funny, man. Like these guys are, like you said, they're so in tune with it. And sometimes you do forget like who is looking at your stuff. You know, it's kind of wild. But also Zach Dalpy did that show Between Two Posts, like the Between Two Ferns knockoff. I thought that was so fucking funny. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see back. That.
It was when he was in Cleveland.
Okay. So this is way back. Yeah, it's one of those things, and that's why, like, and I understand it's like, I don't want to call it my brand, but I'm not afraid to be cynical. Like, I'm not afraid to give my opinion, but it sort of sucks. Like, even, for example, now you asked about Anaheim. Like, I'm buddies with Henrique. They fucking suck. Like, I went to the game against the Leafs. Guy hooked me up with tickets. I go to the game, takes a puck right off the face, like a shift in. So Leafs for the entire first period. It was 7 Cobb Leafs in that game. So I text him after the game. I'm like, what the fuck do you say to somebody who loses 7-0, right? Yeah. So I think it makes you humanize the situation really, really quickly. But again, I think players also understand within reason, like I have a job to do and I'm not afraid to give my opinion. Like bits and points in my life and my career. Yeah, it's bit me in the ass in terms of, you know, people coming back at me, but I think it's assumed in sort of the role and the position that you can't be afraid to share how you feel. At least that's the way I feel.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I have one more question for you here. You know, if you're talking about not being afraid, so I guess
my last about Provorov.
No, I'm not. But
fuck.
I'm avoiding okay. that like the plague. But my last question for you is, who's better dressed, Keandre Miller or Austin Matthews?
Oh shit. Keandre's my boy, man. I fucking love him.
Enough said.
We'll call it a split, man. I think Matthews is a really underrated dresser, dude. So put it this way.
They're both.
Me and Johnny did that YouTube show for the NHL in September. Mm-hmm. I was donning the mustache. It's my brand, the Golden Muzzy, as you guys know.
Amazing gif.
And so thank you. And so I donned the mustache in New York, and I would say it was greeted differently than I would say in Toronto. Like, that's all the rage in Toronto, and it's because of fucking Austin Matthews, man. This guy came in with a duster, and everybody has a fucking mustache. Every person in this city has a mustache. I went to the States. I went to New York specifically, and a lot of people were like, oh, you're growing it for something. I'm like, no,
it's a joke. Yeah.
It's a normal thing, right? And you're sort of like not made fun of, but like it's different for somebody to have a mustache. Whereas here in Toronto, because of one singular dude, Austin Matthews, the contrarian himself, has a duster. Everybody's got a mustache. It just shows you the sex appeal and the reach. But Keandre Miller is a pretty spiffy dresser. I've seen that too.
It's honestly such a funny point. My friend came to my apartment 2 weeks ago with a mustache. I was like, dude, what the fuck?
Exactly. Dude, I went out. We did a vicious pub crawl on the Sunday before. Luckily, I had like 2 days before that YouTube special because I wasn't away, boys. I was feeling it.
Yeah, and you did New York the right way.
Oh, exactly. It was like a brunch pub crawl that turned into a 12-hour pub crawl.
Johnny doesn't do brunch, so don't talk about it.
I wasn't even invited, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Next time. But yeah, like that was a thing. I had the duster and everybody kept asking about it. I'm like, this thing's really, really normal. And then, you know, it's so sad to say, and you shouldn't be this way. Like I got so conscious of it. I literally got home and shaved it off. I got off the plane. And I'm like, that's fucking it. See you later.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I want to spin this to you, Johnny.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to correlate this into a TikTok clip, maybe, or did I call it TikTok? A TikTok clip. Easy for me to say, or Twitter. So Pete Jensen, my co-host, rocked you big time in the YouTube special.
Oh, yeah.
Asking you if you were Cale Makar's water boy. So I want to put a clip together, and I want to know the true story. Like, if you and I walked into a room right now, a ball arena, Cale Makar's there, would he know who the fuck you were?
Dude, what? Yeah.
What?
All right, before Johnny says anything here, I'll say it because I know what he wants to say. The end of the Stanley Cup final, Julie Stewart Binks went up to Cale Makar. And
people thought that I asked her to do that, which I didn't.
No. Yeah, I know. You told me that after. Yeah.
Cale and I played together for one semester. It's not like we were crazy best friends, but like he lived across the hall from me. We hung out like most nights. Like he would come over, like we'd play Chell, you know, in our apartment.
Yeah.
I never said I was best friends with him, you know.
People, you're forgetting everyone, about the best story, though. That Frank Vetrano gave you your first beer ever.
That is true. I actually, because Frank's a UMass guy, so we had a UMass tailgate. Frank always came back like before the season started to kind of hang out with the guys my freshman year because he was friends with that senior class.
Yeah.
And he just like handed me a beer at a tailgate and was like, want a shotgun freshman? I was like, fuck yeah. And I texted my dad after. I was like, Frank Vetrano just handed me a beer. My dad goes, who the fuck is Frank Vetrano?
Johnny was sober till college, so that's why I was
It's so funny you say that, because even growing up, like, I don't know about you guys, and it sounds like the same. Like, I grew up around a lot of hockey players. Like, one of my good buddies growing up was drafted by the Avalanche second round. He was a goalie, Trevor Kahn. He's way back when, 89 born, so you wouldn't even remember. But anyways, he blew out his hip, had to have surgery, never was the same again. But he used to play for the London Knights, who, as you guys would even know, being Americans, that's the team to play for in the OHL, maybe even in all of Canada in terms of the CHL. 10,000 people a game at their barn, dude. It's epic. So you see these guys around town, and Canner lived. He got traded from Peterborough to London. And he used to come by our house all the time, play vids, have a couple pops with us. Like, it was just so funny to get that perspective. And so naturally, when you start covering the NHL, like, you bump into guys, you know, like even Delzotto used to play there. I used to see him like, and then like a couple years later, I'm like, this guy's in the fucking New York Rangers. And I would see him out like randomly in London because it's a smaller type city. So
yeah,
I think ultimately when you start working in the industry, you start like bumping into players more and more. And that's exactly like how I met like Ben Harper last summer. I met him at Dave Pagnotta's golf tournament. The guy's a beauty. Like, he was in the limo with this party bus that we put together that I was in charge of. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Nick. He's like, hey, I'm Ben. I'm like, and then I found out like moments after, I'm like, sure, that's Ben Harper. He used to be on the Leafs because he's like a hulking guy, but like
he's tall as shit. Yeah.
they're really, really down to earth, right? And I think that's the perception you have as a kid. It's like, oh, these guys are big and macho, and they're like, you know, you think Alex Kovalev, like, diva level. But like, a lot of these guys are really humble, down to earth. That's what I love. They'll give you some things if you interview them properly.
Yeah, I mean, I was scared. I don't know about you, Cody. I was scared as shit to talk to Sean Avery last week, and he was like, you know,
he's a dick.
No, but he was super chill. Like, you
he's
know,
good, I, yeah,
all these guys are too. And honestly, like, you know, I'm seeing it more now. This is kind of like my first year really like being in the industry.
Yeah.
I was kind of on the outer works or whatever the fucking word is for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're also more than happy to talk about things that aren't hockey related. Like that's what's really cool too, because all the interviews they do, you know, everyone knocks on NHL players for answering questions the same way, but they're constantly asked the same fucking questions. So like, what do you expect them to really talk about?
Yeah.
So it is nice to, you know, have that other perspective. And like, you know, we're all young guys. These are young kids. Like, they play fantasy football. They have friends. Right. Like, you know, they're all the same. Like, it's
You're right. I mean, it's great to gain insight, like, on their, you know, perspective outside of hockey too, right? Like, personal stories and stuff like that. So it's always awesome. But
I wanted to think of a hard hitter to wrap up with, but
I'm happy I got some clarity in the Cale Makar situation, man, because that was eating me away since I found out you even knew each other. I really want to know if Cale actually knew you, so I'm happy we solidified that.
What, do you think I would lie about that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm kidding.
All I'm saying is I did see a $100 Venmo request to Julie. That's all I'm saying. Right around the time the Stanley Cup, you know, wrapped up. So I'm just going to leave that there. I don't have any other questions. John, you good or what?
Yeah, I'll clarify one more thing. The Waterboy comment was because I think I told Pete I only played like two games my sophomore year. Like, I was a healthy scratch like every night. So I was like the mock PKer in practice. So I was just trying to block kill shots to get into the line.
That's sick. I would still take that any day. Like, my one aspiration in life was to play D1 baseball. I never got to that level, man. I would just like to ride around, pack chews left and right, and just have a time. But never got
not as glamorous as you think. I mean, I didn't play baseball, but like, you know, but Nick, thank you so much. I guess last question. Rangers Leafs Wednesday night. Give us a prediction.
Who Wednesday night? The Rangers always play Toronto tough. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. Ilya Samsonov's really locked in right now, and Shesterkin. So I'll say a 3-2 victory for Toronto just because. And don't we have to figure out too? So we have this bet. Johnny likes to troll me on Twitter. He thinks Buffalo's going to make the fucking playoffs. I don't know what you're smoking, dude.
The, you know, Johnny's like, the one thing Johnny's ever been right with was that the Devils are like actually pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Any other prediction when it comes to a team, he's just like dead wrong.
I've got a good betting record. I'm like 89, 69.
No, he's killing it. I'm tracking your shit this year. You're killing it. But the question ultimately came down to wrap. Is okay, I can get behind Buffalo.
Wrap it up like five times.
Yeah, whatever. It's life. You start talking, verbal diarrhea, it happens, trust me. The question ultimately for me is like, so I can get behind Buffalo making the playoffs. Who are they taking out? Like, are they taking out the Islanders? Are they taking out the Pittsburgh Penguins? Like, do you have more faith in them over those teams? Because I certainly don't. You look at the track record. When's the last time the Buffalo Sabres were in the playoffs? Like, we're thinking like Derek Roy era.
No, I think they made the second round, I'm pretty sure, in like 2012. Like, when, because I remember that.
Dude, you were like 6 years old then.
No, I'm saying. I remember that significant, I think, I don't know if it was overtime, but Miro Chetan had like a filthy backhand goal for the Bruins on Ryan Miller.
Dude, the guy's a GM now. He's been gone for years.
Dude.
No, but
the only reason Johnny hops on Buffalo is because we love Tage Thompson. That's the one and only reason. I kid you not. Like, we are, you know, we will welcome him with open arms eventually to be a blue shirt. But
another guy I'm friends with, actually. He was going to come on our show this summer.
He was going to come on our show. And then I texted Johnny like after he started tearing it up. I'm like, yo, there's no, like, no chance Tate is coming on our show now, right? And he's like, not a fucking chance. Yeah.
All right, but back to your question, Nick. Buffalo's 4 points out right now. The Islanders aren't even in a playoff spot. Okay. I think if any team is going to drop off, and this is like, you know, Cody's going to shit on me now because I said Pittsburgh was going to go to the fucking Stanley Cup final and win the Metro. Dude,
you said they were going to come in first in the Metro.
I just said that.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
But I mean, with Jari out for a while, like, the Smith's a capable backup, but he's not. Back today. Is he back?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I saw today he was still out, but you're probably right. I mean, listen, I think Buffalo just, they've been consistently like the second best or best offensive team in the league. Like, they're, you know, they're outscoring everyone. I think at some point, you know, however, Uko Pekkanen, however you say that name.
Uko Pekkanen.
Yeah. It's, like, it's the biggest mouthful ever. He's like five names. But I think he's playing well enough to help them win games. Like,
you know what my theory is? Is that Johnny's got a futures, a heart trophy on Tage Thompson.
Something like that. Because I personally am like way more inclined to think Detroit, if any team is like going to come and sneak up, it would be Detroit. They're also Buffalo. Shit. Yeah, no kidding. But I mean, they're also only like, I think they're only like, I don't know, 4 points out or something. Like, I mean, they're one point behind Buffalo, dude.
Yeah, they're 5 points back. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I guess we'll see, but
I only have two futures bets. I had Panarin to an MVP and I have Ottinger to win the Vezina. That's my only two.
Your Ottinger call was bang on. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Fuck you, Cody.
My food is here.
Huh?
My food is here.
Okay. Nick, thank you so much. We'll, you know, we'll have you back on come along this, or, you know, as we go on in the season, but you're the best and thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. I just will say in wrapping up for the 18th time that I would love to go to a game at Madison Square Garden. Dude. I've yet to go to a hockey game there. I want to.
Come. Whenever, literally whenever. Like, I'm more than happy to go with you.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Later. We really want to thank our friend Nick Alberga for hopping on. Such a fun conversation. I'm sure we'll get him back on as the year goes, but this week, I don't think we want to, you know, do too much more talking. I think we want to go right into the draft to celebrate Cody's 30th birthday. So I think we decided that we're going to do the best birthday ages or best ages to turn.
I guess. Yeah, let's go with it. But wait, actually, first, we have breaking news. Bruce Boudreau just got fired and Rick Tocchet is replacing him. Tocchet the Rocket is back, baby.
No shit. And that means Yandel's probably going to replace Tocchet on the TNT panel.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Wow, damn. Poor Bruce Boudreau, dude. He's so cute. I love him.
I know. Yeah, he is. He is a cute looking dude. He just, you just want to like hug him.
Yeah, I feel so bad. He's been handling the situation so well.
Unreal, like, unreal. And honestly, huge shame on the Canucks management for keeping around. Like literally terrible.
Yeah, they're gonna blow their whole franchise up come deadline time.
Yeah, give us Horvat.
But let's go into the draft. You go first.
Best birthday ages, like, wouldn't you rather just do like, all right, sure.
What do you want to do?
I don't know. I was gonna say best birthday gifts. Like, what would you want for your birthday?
I mean, that's such a.
Okay. All right. Whatever. How about just like best things revolving around? Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah. No. That works too.
All right. Best things revolving around your birthday. I guess I'm gonna first go with being 21, so you can like legally drink, I guess.
Yeah.
And not getting carded everywhere you go. Well, you still get carded, but
my 21st birthday sucked. I was thinking more of like the best ages to turn. Like, I guess to that point, 21 is.
I mean, what does that even mean? What are you going to say? Five?
I don't know. Like, my favorite age. Like, I'm trying to think of like my favorite years. Like, I thought like 19 was a great year because like you're not in high school and like you're kind of
18 was a great year, dude. You could drive, you could go to a hookah bar.
No responsibilities.
And go to college,
like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I think these are, you know what I'm getting at now? Like fun. Like I guess you said 21, so that's off the board. I would say like 13. Like, I think 13 is a really fun year. Like, you know, you're in middle school, you kind of feel like you're a person and you're the shit, but like really you're not.
You had your bar mitzvah, you would like walk around on the dance floor like you
partying every weekend, like it's a great age to be.
Yeah, okay. I'm going with 18 because you get your driver's license, you're hitting all those parties. You're going to college or you're in college and, you know, just living your best life. I feel like at 18,
I'm going to go that's a good one. You get what I'm saying now. I'm going to go 23 because, well, I mean, I'll go for most people, not for me personally, cause I was still in college, but 23, I feel like for most people is like, you know, you're a year out of college. You know, have somewhat of, I guess, your own money at that point, right? Like, you're making money, you have a job, you feel like you're an adult and, dude, like that first year, like just, you know, being in the city, like kind of feeling like you can make your own choices, you know, that is such an awesome feeling.
Okay.
So all right. That age too.
It's a good one. I'm going to go with 28.
Okay. Because I haven't hit that yet, but tell me why.
Yeah. Well, I got married at 28. I, you know.
That was a nice little kiss picture Jackie put up of you guys today.
You like that? Yeah. No, 28 was a good year. And you know what? 30 is a good year too. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. What's your last one?
when Alice is hard, I feel like a lot of the good ones are off the board. Cause I feel like after 25, it's kind of like, fuck.
I feel like you should go with 11, honestly.
I was thinking 11. That's funny that you say that. Why though?
Cause you still act like you're 11. So,
I feel like 10's a good one too. Like double digits, you know?
Okay.
What's
the age you first started through on skates?
I started playing ice hockey in kindergarten, but then I quit and I played a roller to like 10 and then I went back to ice.
Okay. So 10 sounds like good. 10 sounds like good.
I want to ask you this one too. What's the next birthday you're looking forward to most? it's a deep one.
Yeah, that's tough. Maybe like, can I not say not my birthday? Maybe like my future kid's first birthday.
Okay, yeah, that's
whenever,
a good one.
Whenever that is,
that's a good twist.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for the draft, and then last thing, like
interesting draft, I guess.
Yeah. We got a big slate of games up this week. We have the Panthers tonight. And then we got the Leafs on Thursday, and I think we have the Knights on Friday, you said. So
Leafs Wednesday, Knights Friday.
What'd you say?
In Toronto Wednesday and home versus Vegas Friday.
Oh, Toronto's Wednesday. Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, yeah. So that being said, like, I'm just fucking with you. Don't worry. But
you caught yourself there.
what's your predictions?
For the Panthers, I think they're fucking ass, to be honest. Like, this team does not impress me at all.
Statement.
I think... I mean, it's
Can
so
they
hard
blow it up.
The Rangers
Could
they send are. Us? What's up?
Could they send us Matthew Tkachuk? You think?
No, definitely not. But I think the Rangers win this game.
I'm going. By the way,
you are gone.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say 4-2 Rangers.
4-2 Rangers. Yeah. I love that score, and I'm gonna copy it word for word because I think that's gonna be the final score. Leafs, we play them well always. Is this game in Toronto? Yeah, this game's in Toronto, right? So. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a little tougher.
I'm going 3-1 Leafs for that one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going 3-2 Rangers.
And then home against Vegas Friday.
Vegas, we smoked them last time we played them. I know they were injury riddled, but I think this is going to be close. I think this is going to be a good week for the Rangers finally. They've been a little inconsistent as of late, but I want to say they're going to come out hot against Vegas, 4-3 Rangers. OT win. OT win.
I like that.
Vegas.
I like that. Also, I should mention that I think Halak's playing versus the Panthers tomorrow. Just a heads up.
Can't fucking wait. Love that guy.
But as far as the Vegas game goes, yeah, OT sounds about right, too. I could take an OT game.
Who scores the game winner? Predict it.
4-3, though. I don't know if I like 4-3.
You like 5-4. I know you.
No. I like lower scoring, like 2-1.
Ooh, okay.
2-1. And... I'll go Mika. Give Mika an OT winner. He's due for
Mika,
one. Yeah.
I'm going Capo Caco.
I mean, yeah, it's all hypothetical. Probably won't even go to OT. Caco hasn't scored an overtime goal in his career yet, right?
Which is why.
Yeah, he's due.
It starts now. That's it, right?
Like, yeah, that's all we got for today. We have an unbelievable episode coming next week. We hope
we've locked in
a really good guest for next week. So we're hyped. We haven't recorded the interview yet, but it should be an awesome one. So stay tuned. As always, we love you guys. And Cody, send it off.
LFGR, baby.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. being there day and night and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.